everyone. It's time for a call to action. Welcome to Call to Action Today, where there are no sacred cows, with your host, Steve Noble, just an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and he's calling you out every week to live the Christian life in your home, your work, and even in politics. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH, or check him out online at c2atoday.org. And now, with some much-needed cough medicine for the church, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Okay, riddle me this, Batman. Why you take a young person, we call them millennials these days. So you take a millennial, you raise them in the church, a good evangelical church, Southern Baptist, non-denominational, evangelical, whatever. They study the scriptures, they know the scriptures, they make a profession of faith. They even get baptized, maybe, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 times, but they get baptized. They know the scriptures, right? We've raised them up in the way they should go. And then all of a sudden you notice in high school, all of a sudden they're talking to you in the last year or so about feeling the burn. And all of a sudden they're like, I think Jesus would have loved and does love Bernie Sanders, and I think there's a lot about the Democrat Party that I agree with, and I do think they care more about poor people and illegal immigrants and the environment and all kinds of issues. And so all of a sudden, this little son or daughter or niece or nephew, neighbor, friend, employee, whatever, that you don't doubt that they're saved, you don't doubt that they love Jesus, but all of a sudden, politically, they're moving kind of left. How do you deal with that? How do you react to that? Most likely, you don't react well. That's a situation I've dealt with in my own life, and I just left a couple of classes earlier today of high school age homeschoolers, and I've had I think probably 200 of them in the last few years, and some of them in there, we start talking about certain subjects, and I'm like, what? What did you just say? You know, do you realize your teacher's like a conservative so far to the right? I'm about to fall off the flat earth kind of evangelical, right? And you don't have a problem with gay marriage? What kind of Christian are you? And they're out there. And why are they that way? What do they believe? So today we're going to talk here on Theology Thursday. I am live from the campus of Southeastern Baptist. Chris Martin is a millennial himself. At a ripe old age of 25, right, Chris?
26 now.
26. Yeah. Oh, let's see. I got to give you that extra year.
Yeah.
Because
that
makes absolutely no difference in your 20s, but right. We're going to give that to you anyway. And you're married. Your wonderful wife is here.
Yes.
So you're finishing up your MDiv, Master's in Divinity, here at Southeastern Baptist. You're a blogger, and you also serve authors and stuff through Lifeway. And we're going to talk about this blog post you just put out. Literally, I think it was today. Did this just come out today?
Yesterday morning.
Yep. 9 facts about the political views of millennial evangelicals, and this is going to bug a good percentage of the people that are listening to us today. But this is a subject that I just thank God that you're here, that you've written this, and that we get to talk about it, because this is a challenging subject, especially if we're dealing with our own children or friends or people in church. But tell us a little bit about your background, Chris, so we get to know you, so we know where you're coming from. Now, how did you end up here? How did you end up blogging? How did you end up at a seminary and at Lifeway?
Sure.
Who is this Chris Martin guy?
Sure. Man, where do you start? So I'm from Fort Wayne, Indiana, originally. Went to Taylor University for my undergrad, and I got my degree in biblical literature. Started blogging, actually, in the 8th grade, because I had such profound thoughts back then, right? No, but I really liked writing. I really liked the internet, social media kind of stuff. It was really kind of coming, you know, MySpace was a thing back then, and blogging wasn't big. We were back on like LiveJournal and Zanga back then.
Yeah.
WordPress wasn't
ancient.
Really around. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And so I was writing on those platforms, trying to impress girls or trying to be cool, but also I was like, why don't I take some of these devotional thoughts I write, you know, write in my little journal when I do my Bible reading, and why don't I share those with people? Maybe they'll be encouraged. So I did that all through high school, actually got a scholarship to university because of my blog. Is weird long
wow.
story, but yeah. And so it's done a lot for me. And then I got into social media and learning how to, you know, use that strategically and how to write and how to do all that kind of stuff. Got to Lifeway and helped a guy named Ed Stetzer manage his blog at Christianity Today, and now do that for 15 or 16 authors through my work at Lifeway, and then started this millennial blog in 2014.
Yeah, so we're talking about your people. This is your age group. And how do we define millennials these days?
So millennials, different research institutions who do studies on millennials may define them differently. The best, I think the most prolific research institution to do work on millennials is the Pew Research Center, who the stats from today's article or yesterday's article are from. So I tend to go with their numbers, their years. They define millennials as those born between 1981 in 1996. Sometimes you can extend that to like 2000, but yeah. A lot happened between 1996 and 2000. So it's important. But about that 15-year range, and I was born in 1990, so almost right smack in the middle of that.
Yeah, yeah. And now we're going to go through this, and there's 9 different facts we're going to talk about here. We'll look at them individually, and then we'll talk. I think the bigger picture is what do these point us at? When we start considering young evangelical millennials, 42% self-identify as conservative, which means 58% don't. 51% self-identify as Republican or lean Republican, which means 49% don't. And we'll do that with these various subjects. But I really want to make sure we drill down today as to how did they end up this way? How did your millennial peeps end up where they I'm not going to call out whether they love Jesus or not. I'm not going to call out whether they revere the scriptures or not. But you do have to get into a little bit of that. But why are they turning out, so many of them, and about half, I think, so different than what we raised them to be?
Yeah, man, that's a good question. And unfortunately, there's not a lot of data. And in fact, there's not data on why millennials think the way they do. And in fact, you couldn't even really do a study on that. That's almost like an anecdotal study. You just have to ask individual people.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not, you can't get, 50% of millennials are liberal because of this. You know, there's not really a way to do that. I think everything... I'm finishing a book. I'm not meaning to plug my book, but I'm finishing a book on this subject right now, not just political stuff, but millennials in general. And the thing I keep going back to over and over and over, the internet is to blame for everything. And whether blame, not good or bad, it is the cause of so much of why millennials are the way they are. If you think about someone who is growing up in 1950s Lincoln, Nebraska, they were likely interacting with people very much like them.
Yeah, everything was 1950s Lincoln, Nebraska.
Exactly. They go down to the, you know, the local store.
Right.
People are like them, probably mostly white, you know, whatever. Their economic class is going to be a lot like them. Their ideologies are going to be a lot like them. And you tended to, you know, cities have always been seen as more liberal because it's more cosmopolitan. People from all different kinds of backgrounds, intermixing, melting pot kind of stuff going on. And rural areas always used to be more conservative. That's generally been the – and it's still true. What the internet has done is it's made everywhere urban in that respect. A kid growing up in 1950s Nebraska was 95% of the people that kid was going to interact with through his most formative years were going to be like him and think like him. A kid growing up in 2015, Lincoln, Nebraska,
that's
certainly most not the case.
That's exactly right. It is not the case. And I just mentioned this earlier today. I talk about this on the radio often. Hey, listen, between kindergarten and 12th grade, you're going to have 16,000 hours butts in the seats, and you're going to have another 16,000 hours of popular media. Let's say you go to church 4 hours a week, same period of time. That's only 2,400 hours. So what you marinate in is what you end up tasting like. We're going to see that as we get through 9 facts about the political views of millennial evangelicals with my guest, Chris Martin. We'll be right back. And effectively kind of engage people that like your books or your blog or whatever. But this particular blog that he just wrote, 9 facts about the political views of millennial evangelicals. We're going through this today. I love this subject. Because it can be very frustrating, especially for older Christians like myself. I'm 51. Who have kids, and we see this younger generation, your generation, Chris, politically, many of them moving left while loving Jesus, and we think that's, for the most part, oil and water. And so it gets very confusing. And so why did you decide to write on this? And then we'll start going through these 9 points.
Yeah, sure. So it's so funny when you ask why. Well, first of all, the only reason I was able to write is because I did just finish grad school, so I had time for the first time in a while. But Pew, they release data all the time. And this data actually is not new data. It's from it was released in 2015, but they just republished it in an article, a longer form article, similar to how I structured mine. I just pulled out the most relevant data points.
Yeah.
So that I saw them publish, you know, here's some interesting facts about the political views of millennial evangelicals. I'm like, well, that's right up my alley. We should probably do something about that. And so I read through the study and read through the new graphs that they created for this data and thought it was really interesting and thought it would, you know, it was a softball. There's no way I could not write about it.
Yeah.
Could not write about it.
Now, is this a topic that's being discussed in places like Lifeway? And I would imagine most of your authors and the people that you're helping are older than you are. Is it a subject that's being talked about in the church and in evangelicalism? Like, why are so many of our kids going left politically?
Yeah, sure. I can't say that it's talked about a lot at Lifeway. Now, it may be just not where I'm at. Lifeway is a big place. But I do know it's very much being talked about in the local church. I do another radio show semi-frequently, like you said, at the top of the show out of Minneapolis, and it's something that we talk about quite frequently. But the reason I started the blog is one of my friends approached me, and he said, I think pastors need a resource from a conservative evangelical, like conservative theologically conservative evangelical, to help them reach millennials, because so many millennials who are blogging are liberal, not just politically, but theologically.
Yeah.
And so it is a big issue in the church that millennials are somewhat theologically conservative, but they're moving a little bit left there as well, but also definitely politically liberal. And it's interesting. It's a big issue.
Well, this is, again, we're looking at a Pew Research Center, which I use a lot of Pew stuff here on the show, looking at millennials and their these nine political views of millennial evangelicals. And you'll be surprised, perhaps not, but it's hard to wrestle with this. And I think it's an indication, Chris, that largely in the evangelical world, regardless of age, but especially older evangelicals, it shows you what I would call the level of our political idolatry. Because if you're not right on politics, I'm going to question your allegiance to Christ. I might even question your salvation. That you say you're a Christian, but how can you be a Christian and support a Democrat who supports abortion and abortion so clearly against God's word? What's up with that? And I think we're in a really interesting era here where we're going to have to learn how to communicate and perhaps focus on politics less and scripture more. But we'll unpack that as we go. Okay, so let's just start going through these. Number one, 42% self-identify as conservative. And now this is how I read stats. I go, well, that means like 58% don't. So they only 42% identify as conservative. So what do you think about that?
Yeah, I think it's kind of interesting, you know, looking at that stat and the second one, which we'll get to in a minute, that only 42% self-identify as conservative. I think it's interesting to me that number is so low for millennial evangelicals. That number would be very high for millennials, period.
Right.
That number is so low for millennial evangelicals. But when you look then at – it's a little bit encouraging when you look that 34% consider themselves moderate.
Right.
And only 16% consider themselves liberal. What that tells me is a significant percentage, 34% of millennial evangelicals self-identify as moderate, likely because a high percentage of those people also, when it comes to political parties, self-identify as independent. And a lot of times what that comes from is they don't want to attach to an institution.
Right.
Millennials don't trust institutions. There are a lot of institutions that broke in our most formative years. September 11th showed us that the country isn't necessarily safe. The economic recession of 08 and 09 showed us that our banks and our money is not necessarily safe, and our homes and our jobs, our parents' homes and jobs. And so a lot of times we're really hesitant about wedding ourselves to an institution. Yeah. This is why we delay getting married a lot of times. This is why we don't get involved with the local church in a lot of ways. And I think it's why we don't attach ourselves to political movements.
Yeah.
So among those 34% of millennial evangelicals who self-identify as moderate, they may be more conservative than liberal.
Right.
They may not be, you know, right in the middle of the spectrum.
But they're not going to speak our language either.
Exactly.
You're not going to speak my language.
Right.
That's one of the
right.
things that I do with older folks in my life that – I'm trying to figure out whether they actually know the gospel.
Right.
They don't communicate in evangelical ease.
Exactly.
So now I have to extend some grace and be patient and say, okay, now I got to find a different way to communicate because you're not going to give it to me in the language that I want. And
yeah.
I think we're seeing that here, especially with 34% saying they're moderate.
Yeah. And what wedding yourself to a conservative or liberal movement or a Republican or Democrat party does to you is it makes you have to defend stuff that all the people in those camps who are elected or president or the Congress, it makes you have to defend them. And so a lot of millennials, I have a number of friends who think this way, are like, I'm not going to wed myself, you know, connect myself to a bunch of people who I might agree with on some issues, but not on some other issues when they go and make a fool of themselves.
Right. I'm not guilty by association.
Exactly.
Because there aren't many people that are actually independent in terms of their party affiliation in D.C.
Exactly.
So it makes you aloof, which I understand. I actually changed my party affiliation to unregistered a couple of years ago, unaffiliated. 51% self-identify as Republican or lean Republican. Isn't that the same issue?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. I would have guessed more millennial evangelicals self-identifying as conservative and less as Republican, lean Republican, because party lines for the reason
we just talked
about can seem so repulsive. Now, what's interesting, and I was talking to somebody about this the other day, this data is from 2014.
Oh, yeah. See,
it
now,
would be really interesting to
well,
see
you know,
it would
be a whole lot lower because if I identify as a millennial with Republican, I'm identifying as a Trump person.
Exactly.
And forget it. That number has tanked. Okay, let's go to the next one. This is a huge one. 65% say abortion should be illegal in all or most cases. is, which you have to wed to the stats that are out there that shows your generation is more pro-life than much of the older generation.
Yeah, yeah. 65% of millennial evangelicals say abortion should be illegal in all or most cases. That's 2% higher. Now, granted, that's within the margin of error.
Yeah.
But that's 2% higher than older evangelicals. So they're actually more conservative than their older brothers and sisters in Christ on that issue. That's compared to just 36% of all millennials. So there's still, you know, a big battle to fight as far as all millennials are concerned.
Well, and it's interesting on that, and we're going to hit a break here in a minute, is the next one, number four, 49% oppose same-sex marriage, which means you're only about in the middle there. And if I wanted to see an evangelical millennial break on one issue or another, I'm going to be much more concerned with what they do with life than I am, just generally, than I am with their issue on marriage, because marriage is much more intermingled for me as somebody that teaches the Constitution and states' rights and federalism and those. There's a lot more to talk about on the marriage side.
Yes.
But for years, I've been pleasantly surprised that people your age are pushing more pro-life.
Yeah, and this is where faith and science make a really nice couple, right? Because with more ultrasounds and all of that, that only pushes. I think that's only going to increase.
Yeah, absolutely. We're talking to Chris Martin. His website, millennialevangelical.com. This blog post, 9 facts about the political views of millennial evangelicals. We'll pick it up there when we come back right after this. After this break, so don't go anywhere. I know if you're a millennial, you like get bored and you want to leave, but don't
watch a YouTube video.
Just stick with it. That's right. We'll be right back after this. What will make a man so bold? Make a woman lay her own life down. Only one thing. Jesus Christ, magnified all over the world. Back to Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. Great to be with you. And when you want to find out about millennials, well, you can talk to old people like me. Or you can actually talk to a millennial. We went to the mall. We went to a really cool store where you could buy skinny jeans and stuff. And we just kidnapped one and brought him in. Actually, you don't wear skinny jeans.
No, I don't wear skinny jeans.
Okay. Chris Martin's in here. He's just about to graduate with his MDiv here at Southeastern Baptist, but also works at Lifeway, an aspiring pastor one of these days, God willing, and also does a lot of stuff with social media and blogging on his own website, millennialevangelical.com. I still can't believe you got that web address. But millennialevangelical.com, and Chris just put out his most recent blog, 9 Facts About the Political Views of Millennial Evangelicals. So these are young people, millennials, that know the gospel, make a profession of faith, say Jesus is the only way to heaven. They revere the Bible, all that stuff. But, you know, a good chunk of them are pushing left in terms of their political views. And I know that can be very frustrating. I know it personally. I know it through the spheres of influence that God has given me and the people that I come into contact with. It's a really difficult subject. And I know some of the most godly, conservative, theologically and politically minded people who have kids that are just real pretty, like, feel the burn, baby, and they're pretty far left on a lot of issues. And we just sit around and scratch our heads and throw stuff and wonder what we did wrong, right? Because all of a sudden this kid's a rebellious, you know, what the heck? You might as well just renounce everything if you're going to like any Democrat. But that's where we're at. So we're kind of going through these numbers from a recent Pew Research Center study that shows us kind of what are these millennials thinking? Why are they thinking this? Why is this happening? That's a much more difficult question to answer, but we're going down that road anyway. So we were talking about 51% self-identify as Republican or lean Republican. 65% say abortion should be illegal in all or most cases, which is great. Here's one that's troubling for a lot of people. 49%, only 49%, let me go ahead and load that up, oppose same-sex marriage. So is it the whole homosexual issue, transgender, gay marriage, is that just not much of an issue anymore for millennials?
Yeah, I think a lot of millennials, I've heard this argumentation a lot. They see marriage as a church issue, not a state issue. So I think when you ask the question, do you oppose same-sex marriage, especially back, this data is from like 2014,
right?
That's going to be more of like the political, governmental issue, not is it right or wrong sinfully. You know what I mean? And biblically.
Well, that's one thing I've noticed. They say, well, do you think that homosexual relations are sinful?
Correct.
Yes. So what do you think about gay marriage?
Right.
I don't give a rip.
Right.
That's generally it.
Yeah. And the general mentality of millennials is, well, because the activity is sinful, the marriage, forget about that. That's they're going to have homosexual activity regardless of if there's marriage or not. So that a lot of millennials are thinking, forget the marriage issue for a second. Yeah, marriage is important. Like, maintaining biblical marriage is important. But let's not fight to – let's not let that be a hill we die on. Let's argue for a biblical sexual ethic, period. Not about whether or not it's legal or illegal for it to be allowed. You know what I mean? It's like – it's legislating morality, not in the – I don't want to I don't want to push my morals on other people. But it's like, from a lot of millennials' perspective is – well, we're not going to make any Christians out of keeping it illegal. Right. So what's it matter if they have that or not? Let's continue to preach a biblical sexual ethic.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of the reason that that number is so low, that only less than half of millennial evangelicals oppose same-sex marriage, I think the reason that's so low is because a lot of them are thinking, well, it's kind of a lost cause. Let's just be faithful in teaching a sexual ethic and not care about the legality of marriage.
Yeah, yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And people, you know, because I was, you know, Call to Action, we organized the very first same-sex anti-marriage demonstration here in Raleigh back in 2005, and we fought for it every year. We knew we weren't going to get anywhere until the North Carolina legislature flipped, and then traditional marriage was enshrined in our state constitution within a year and a half after that. But from a constitutional perspective, I look at that and go, well, it probably should be a states' rights issue. We had 31 states that said, hey, we want traditional marriage, and other states didn't. And then one guy in a black robe in Washington, D.C. decides to override all of that. But I don't expect a lot of millennials to even think that way anymore. They're just not seeing life and life in America through my 51-year-old glasses.
Right, exactly.
And I think it's ridiculous for me to expect them to.
Yeah, I think for a lot of millennials, battles like this are realities that we learn to minister in, rather than realities that we try to change,
right.
Which you can argue whatever side you want on that. But a lot of millennials that I've heard, just in like anecdotally in discussions I've heard or seen online, is like, well, we might oppose same-sex marriage, but let's focus on a biblical sexual ethic instead of like the legality of the issue.
Yeah, and they're so not going to choose to die on the hill.
Yeah, exactly.
Take us to this next one, point number five, about the immigrant population.
Yeah, so 27% of millennial evangelicals say a growing immigrant population is a change for the better. So that means only about a quarter of millennial evangelicals say more immigrants is good. Now, the other options, the first question I ask is, well, does that mean, you know, 73% of them say more immigrants is bad? Now, this question does not say illegal.
Right, it doesn't say illegal.
Yeah, this says all immigrants. And so I'm like really confused. The options were, do more immigrants make it better, worse, not much difference, or I don't know. So it's not just like a better or worse question. And I think a lot of millennials, maybe even insert it, and anyone taking the survey would insert illegal into that question, whether or not it was in the question
or
not.
Right.
So I think it's concerning that so few millennials see a growing immigrant population is for the better, because I think having people from all different kinds of backgrounds is great.
Sure. Well, that's how this country grew.
Exactly. But I do think the question, maybe they inserted the sort of the legal immigrant, and there's so much discussion about legal immigration that may be thinking about that.
Well, what about it's not on this particular Pew Research study, but what about illegal immigration? Do you feel like your peers in the millennial generation are like, hey, build the wall, shut it down, we got to deal with this, this is bad?
Most discussion I've seen online among people like me, millennials and evangelicals, and also just millennials generally, is I've seen very few people arguing for a free pass sort of idea. And a pure, like, doesn't matter to
right,
me.
Right, right.
The most common idea I've seen among millennial evangelicals is a path to citizenship idea, not a deport or wall idea either. I think everyone, every millennial discussion I've seen on this is secure borders are important, but let's not deport families entirely or kids of parents or parents or whatever.
Right.
And so that's I think this sort of compassionate conservatism, you might have heard, you know, that's a common term thrown around, that this sort of like, yeah, they got here illegally, but let's not wreck their lives. Let's, like, you know, try to get them on this path. This is, whatever that looks like, there's all kinds of disagreement on what that might look like. So that's the most common idea that I've heard.
Now, on this next one, point number six, 41% say bigger government and more services are preferable. There's been a bunch of studies recently, I've talked about it on the air, where an increasing percentage of Americans, including Republicans, are saying, yeah, bigger government, more services, thumbs up, baby.
Right, right. Only 27% of older evangelicals agree with this. So that's a huge difference. I mean, that's a 14 more.
It's a big swing.
Yeah, that's a huge swing, 20 almost. And so I think a lot of this comes from millennials' desire to do social justice in the church or out of the church. My wife worked at Big Brothers.
How do you define social justice as a millennial?
Yeah, so I think doing good for those around you who are in hard times or have some sort of undue burden on them, whether they – earned it or not, whether they came upon their doing or
right,
not.
Right, right.
Like my wife worked at Big Brothers Big Sisters for the last few years. Not a Christian organization, but she could be a Christian in that place. And so I think a lot of millennials are social justice oriented. They want to do good for neighbor. And a lot of millennials have seen churches do that well. A significant portion of them have seen churches not do that well. And, you know, in the early 20th century, you had the division between, you know, social gospel and just proclaiming the gospel. And I think it's unfortunate that that division had to be a reality because they're so wed together.
Well, Tim Keller says if you're not regularly doing something to help the poor, you should probably question whether you're a Christian at all.
Exactly. And so I think a lot of evangelical churches, you know, might say they care about caring for their neighbor and doing social justice, but they don't do community service projects with any regularity. So millennials are like, well, if the church isn't going to do that, I don't know where else to turn. Let's do it through our local, you know, city government, you know, or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I think a lot of times it's the social justice instinct in millennials that causes them to think bigger government might be.
Is there a little dichotomy there, though? Because millennials, on the other hand, we talked about this earlier, are like, hey, I don't want to be associated with institutions.
Yeah.
Yet they're saying a bigger institution that does more stuff is preferable.
Yeah. I think it's a like lesser of two evils. Like, I don't want to be associated with an institution, but I don't know how I'm going to provide food for all these people. So I guess I'll try to do it through here, and it might not work. But I see a higher percentage chance of it happening with this government institution than with myself.
Do you think that there is – now, listen, it's the old quote, and we've attributed it to a number of different presidents. If you're 18 and not a liberal, you don't have a heart.
Yeah.
If you're 30 and not a conservative, you don't have a brain.
Right.
So all of a sudden – and I think this has been true across generations. A 25-year-old – God bless you. Yeah, that's what I'm supposed to say before I slam you. Does not have as much wisdom as a 35-year-old in most cases, or a 45-year-old. And life gets in the way, and you get married, and you have kids, and all this other kind of stuff. So what do you do with all of that? I'm not sure what's happening with our clock right now, so I'm going to go ahead and play professional. We'll be right back after this. So right now, based on reality, like time.gov, which is the government clock, so how can it possibly be wrong?
Oh, yeah, right. Of course.
You,
yeah,
you should
be
able to
be wrong.
Bank your entire life off
right,
of it.
Right, exactly.
Right now, we're supposed to be on a commercial. Now, I don't hear anything, and so this is a question for Howard. I don't know if he's even listening. So if now Simeon is the computer. It's not a person.
Okay.
See, now look. There's outro music.
Yeah.
So I'll just do it twice.
Yeah, right.
Right. So we're just going to keep doing this. I don't know what's happening right now, but I, you know, don't particularly care. We're just going to keep going.
Yeah.
We're going to keep talking about this stuff. We have one more segment left. I'm talking to Chris about his recent article, 9 Facts About the Political Views of Millennial Evangelicals Who Are Pushing Much More Regularly to the Left Than Us Older Evangelicals. And how do we deal with that? How do we communicate with them? We'll talk about that next. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble. It's Call to Action Radio, Theology Thursday, live from the campus of Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. And before we go any further, and I have one of my most important questions is, do millennials like the Foo Fighters? I'm going to get to that in a second. But one of my other questions is, have you acted yet on something I've been encouraging you to do for several weeks now? And you know that I've been telling this story. The Noble family's been a part of the MediShare world for about 5 years now. And really, MediShare has been around as a Christian ministry. It's a not-for-profit Christian ministry. It's been around since 1993. So a couple hundred thousand Christians around the country since 93 have shared over $1 billion in major medical healthcare expenses. Okay, so this is a way that you go around traditional insurance. We come together as the body of Christ, and for major medical things, we share each other's costs. It's an unbelievable ministry. Over $1 billion, like I said, since 93. And it's been a huge blessing to us financially, as well as just the fact that you know you're serving other people in the body of Christ. It takes you around Obamacare. It takes you around the abortifacients and the abortion issue within Obamacare, and frees you up from all that. And the government knows it exists. It exists. You're not hiding. It's not some a subversive activity. It's really a great blessing, a great ministry, and I want you to check it out. For you and your family, 855-BIBLE-11 is their phone number. 855-BIBLE-11, now available also in Montana. But give them a call. Check it out. I'm positive you'll be glad that you did. 855-BIBLE-11. We're talking to Chris Martin today. MillennialEvangelical.com is his website. A great blog post, really fascinating. 9 facts about political views of millennial evangelicals who are pushing left. And let's just get that big question out of the way. Do millennials like the Foo Fighters?
You know, that's a good question. I think older millennials probably do.
Oh, man. They were shots fired.
I was born in 1990, I know them and have listened to them, but I think they're probably more popular with those born a little bit before 1990.
Okay, yeah.
So older people.
Yeah. Okay, I receive that.
You know, a millennial born in 1995 probably isn't a huge Foo Fighters fan.
No, probably not. Well, no, they're still young and stupid, so we'll give them the time. But we're talking about this really important conversation, and really the question goes back to and my wife asked this question. This is a great question, and I'm going to go ahead and jump into this. Kind of, because I think we take it personally. If it's your son or your daughter, friends, kids in church, you start going, and then you're assuming their parents are bad parents. So do we quote unquote blame the parents that these millennial evangelicals, they make a profession of faith, they know the gospel, they're pretty good at the scriptures, but politically they're in the middle or they're pushing left? Do we blame the parents? Or do we even think like that? Should we be talking about blame? Because that's how it feels. If your kid starts going that direction, you're like, oh my gosh, I screwed something up.
Yeah, I would be careful to toe the blame line, just because, you know, I think there can be a diversity of political views within the body of Christ, but there are some things that I think you need to take hard stances on. I think what my concern is not so much – parents are responsible ultimately for their children's discipleship. I don't think they need to be super concerned if they start to think that bigger government service and more services might be okay, or that stricter environmental laws are good, or you know, these different things. There are obviously some issues I think need to be stood firm on. But I don't think parents need to blame themselves or necessarily blame anyone. But I do think they would be wise to figure out what's going on, what's causing it.
Yeah.
And I think – internet exposure, and that might sound bad, but just exposure to different worldviews and ideologies. That could be at your school if you go to a school that has a diversity of ideologies and backgrounds. But I think more exposure to different worldviews and ideas earlier on is more of the cause of this than rebelling against parents. People have rebelled against parents for as long as we can remember.
Yeah, right. That's exactly right. All the way back. That's right. So, and I think it's important to remember, and from a functional standpoint as we move forward in all of this, that knowing that our kids today, be them millennials or even the younger ones, are in a deluge of really counter-Christian thinking, counter-Christian worldviews, anti-Christian, if you want to put a little more spice into it, knowing that they're going to marinate in that, they're going to be surrounded by it and assaulted by it, which is why it's way more important to have conversational Christianity and to think through our theology and to be able to have a rational theology, because that's the world's coming at you. Right. And I just don't think we prepared him.
I think the thing that – and I'm not going to rail against this movement at all, because I think it did a lot of good things. I think the old idea is that the way to be a Christian American is to kind of align yourself with the religious right movement.
Right.
Right? I think
– Save America.
I think millennials' parents and their grandparents need to understand that there may be other ways to be a faithful Christian American that don't necessarily look exactly like the religious right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That people may not become more liberal, but may not hold the exact same views as like traditional religious right views, and yet still be a faithful follower of Christ.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's a departure from truth. I think it might just be a different way to work out the truth.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's a great point. You know what I mean? Let's look at this one, because I know this one will rattle some cages. 51% say homosexuality should be accepted by society. What does that even mean?
Yeah, that's really hard. I think that's an interesting question, and I'm confused as to why that's higher than the same-sex marriage question, which is 49, I believe. And 41% or 51% say homosexuality should be accepted by society. I think that means that millennial evangelicals think homosexuality, someone being a homosexual should not be rejected by society.
Right,
now, their idea might be – there are so many ways – I wish you could interview all the people who take these surveys.
Yeah.
They might say, well, it shouldn't be accepted by the church, but it should be accepted by society.
Right.
Like, we don't need to like run them out of town.
Right. Yeah, you don't call them lepers and make them walk on the other side of the street. We're not going back to pre-civil rights era.
Right.
And I appreciate that. And I think largely, and I'm willing to admit this because this is who I was, and God just continued to do a work in my heart and my head, was that we turned the homosexual community and now the transgender community into modern-day lepers.
Exactly.
Unclean, unclean. You stay over there, a bunch of freaks. Listen, there is – I call it the ick factor.
Yeah.
That because of the unnaturalness of that particular area of sin. So there's an ick factor there. But that largely, you have two sides of the same coin. One side is we can be jerks and condescending and just mean and arrogant. And the other side is Romans 1. And listen, they're going to have a problem with us no matter how nice you are.
Exactly.
in some places that's going to be a little more nasty, but to those who are perishing, we are the aroma of death.
Exactly.
Don't make it any worse by being a jerk.
Right. That's my whole point is I think a lot of millennials are saying, yeah, they should be accepted. Like, we shouldn't outlaw them or make them like pariahs of society, but we shouldn't accept it in the church. Now, the big thing, we have not talked about this yet. In this Pew survey, these are Christians who self-identify as evangelicals. They did not take a little test.
Right.
Like some surveys, it's like, do you believe this, this, and this? Okay, now you're an evangelical.
Now you're an evangelical.
These are people
right.
who say they're evangelicals.
They'll come right out and say it.
Exactly. So that might have had some factor on this as well, that they'll say this, but maybe they don't attend church that often or whatever. But I think that what you said is correct and what we've been talking about, that they don't necessarily believe it should be accepted in the church, but they do think it should be accepted in society because the alternative isn't exactly
right,
biblical.
Right, yeah, absolutely. No, I agree with that. So yeah. A couple other points here, and then we'll kind of wrap it up. But 55% say stricter environmental laws are worth the cost. I love talk. That's been one of my favorite classes that I took out here pursuing my master's degree in ethics was environmental ethics. We've really missed the boat on that as Christians.
Yep.
So I have no problem with that. 50% good. Say government aid to the poor does more harm than good. Now, I'm like, maybe they're reading When Helping Hurts.
Right, right.
By Brian Fickert, and right. To which I say, good.
38% of all millennials agree with them. So even 38% of non-believing millennials agree with that.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
is high.
Yeah, which is really high. So let's get to, as we wrap up our conversation here, and again, talking to Chris Martin, millennialevangelical.com, a great article, and I perused your website because I just found out you're going to be on about an hour ago, which is awesome. It's been a great blessing. I wish I had met you a couple years ago, but we can do more radio in the future. Nine facts about the political views of millennial evangelicals. So how do we approach you and your peeps,
yeah.
Chris? Tell me, as a 51-year-old hardcore conservative evangelical, how to lovingly, effectively engage with your generation who doesn't see the political realm in the exact same way I do.
I think the biggest step you can take to ministering to millennials, whether you're a pastor, church leader, parent, teacher, whatever that is, or just a neighbor, is don't pick which political hills you want to die on and make sure you don't pick too many. Because if you as a pastor or a church leader, you know, in some offhand small group discussion or if you do it from the pulpit or anything like that, if you say something to the effect of global warming is a hoax or illegal immigrants don't need to apply for citizenship, you know, whatever side you're on,
yeah.
liberal or conservative, if you make these like wide-reaching, hard stances on political issues that don't necessarily have some sort of like hard and fast biblical truth like the Fight for Life has behind it or right. or maintaining marriage, you're going to shoot yourself in the foot because you're going to step on the toes of a group of millennials, like we just said, who are staying faithful to the scripture, but perhaps living out their political ideologies in a way that aren't exactly like the religious right and maybe their parents or grandparents
right, right.
did.
Well, I think it's important also to listen.
Yeah.
I preach.
Talk, have conversations.
Yeah. I don't do that well because I get so frustrated.
Yeah.
That and then I'm just trying to force a square peg into a round hole,
right?
And both the hole and the peg get damaged.
Yeah.
And I think we have to realize the reality of how they've been raised,
yeah.
and the world in which they live, which you've pointed out, which is super important. Remembering they've had so much coming at them, and I think it's going to take most millennials a while to kind of work through that.
Yeah.
And I think it's what would be the top things you would want from us as older evangelicals
yeah.
who care about you? We care about the gospel. We should care about the lost. We care about the country. Give us some tips.
Yeah, I think major on the major. Don't major on the minors, right? So, but that's hard because you may see minors as majors.
Right, right.
Right. So I think listening is huge. I think keeping the gospel at the fore is most important. I think anytime you're especially going into like a political conversation, lead with scripture. Don't lead with, you know, a political idea that's conservative, but not necessarily biblical, depending on how you think of it.
Yeah.
So I think leading with scripture, leading with the gospel is good.
Yeah. And again, I think this is a conversation that needs to continue.
Yeah.
So even though it's the first time you've been on this show, let's make sure it's not the last time.
Sure.
Because I really appreciate your perspective. Obviously, God has gifted you in a way to be able to deal with this and your communication ability. And the fact that you're a young 26-year-old man who's married, which makes you almost non-millennial.
Uh-huh.
You're not supposed to get married this young. You're not
right.
supposed to know like what you're doing.
Yeah, exactly.
Life. So you got to repent of that. Chris Martin, it's been great having you on. Thanks for allowing everybody to throw you under the bus here because I'm pretty sure this wasn't on your schedule this morning.
It was not. Thanks,
but it's
Steve.
Been awesome. We thank the Lord for that. MillennialEvangelical.com is the website. 9 facts about the political views of millennial evangelicals. It's been great being here. And God willing, I'll talk to you guys again real soon.